Good morning.
Good morning.
Would you open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4, please? Last week in our study, we looked at various pictures and types of the sacrifices that God has placed in His Word that point us to the only sacrifice that God will accept for redemption of man's sin. Our subject last week was God declares Himself the sacrifice. Our brother Bill came up afterwards and he showed Pastor Gene and I a note that he had wrote down where he wrote, God provided Himself my sacrifice. I was very blessed by that. In fact, many of you have expressed the blessings of God and that what He has bestowed upon you through the series of studies that we have brought. And I thank God for Him giving me the honor of preparing and presenting these studies with you, what He has deemed His gospel message. This morning I would like to start off by looking again at a picture, a type of sacrifice that once again points us to the true sacrifice, the true payment, the only way for remission of sins, and that is the sacrificial blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God will accept nothing less than perfect and complete payment for sin. Are you with me in Genesis chapter 4? Let's look at verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And we know the rest of the story, don't we? Cain's jealousy and anger towards the rejection of God drove him to the point of killing his brother, taking his brother's life.
Been there.
This is the way of the world. How dare you say that God will be merciful to some and not to others? That's not fair. I'm not that bad. There's a lot of people out there that are worse than me. I've never done anything that hurt anyone else. Cain brought a sacrifice of his own imagination. A sacrifice made with his own hands. A sacrifice that pointed to the works and grace mixed together. Well, let me here tell you this morning, folks, works and grace don't mix. You don't need to turn there, but in Romans 11:5 it says, even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. I don't hear anything else with that. I didn't read anything else with that. Election of grace. That's grace alone, is it not?
Amen.
And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Grace means unmerited favor. You can't earn it. And if you add anything to it, it's no longer grace. That's what God's Word says. This is God's Word. Remember our first lesson. What was our first study? God declares this to be His Word. It is absolutely true. Grace stands alone. Cain tried to come to God by the means of his own merit, not by grace. Turn over to the book of Jude, will you? That's the book right before Revelations. It's just a single chapter. Our Lord warns us of those who would try and bring works into His church. And we should take great heed to God's warnings, for they are serious. Beware. Are you with me in Jude? Let's start at beginning at verse 4. For there are certain men crept in unawares, means we don't know about it, who were before of old ordained, it means they were ordained of God. To this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Beware, it says. Now jump over to verse 10. But these, speaking of those men who creep in, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, and these in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. I don't know if I pronounced that right, but so they've turned the grace of God into evil by putting their own works into it and saying, look what I have done. The pride of man. Now if you would turn over to John chapter 19. Beware of those who brings works into our midst. Folks, again, salvation is by grace and by grace alone. It is accomplished. It is done. In Hebrews 1:1, while you're turning to John, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being in the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Salvation by grace is accomplished. It's done. It's finished. It means to sit. Or when He says to sit, it means to rest, to cease from standing. I thoroughly was blessed by Mike's message last week. That's a time to heal. When you rest, when we rest at night, are we not healing?
Yeah.
We're healing from all the day's activities. Rest. He who has all power in heaven and earth has accomplished salvation for His people. Are you with me in John chapter 19? Let's begin at verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, say, I thirst. Now there was a set of vessels full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to His mouth. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, it is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. That's the sacrifice. That's the very sacrifice that we have seen throughout the Old Testament pointing to. Blood, the blood of bulls and goats never saved anything. But they point us to the one who did. The only sacrifice. Now turn back to Hebrews chapter 10. And while you're turning there, allow me to read from Matthew 11:28. It says, come unto me, all ye that are that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Your works will never give you rest. Only grace can give you the rest you seek. Are you with me in Hebrews? Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year after year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Do we understand that? All those sacrifices that those guys did, all those years, all that blood that was shed, did nothing. It could never make the comers thereunto perfect. That's what God's word says. Verse 2, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. A little shedding of that blood never took away their sins. It never took away their consciousness of sin, did it? But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Our Lord prepared himself our sacrifice. He is our sacrifice. He made himself our sacrifice. What bulls and goats could not do, they pointed us to him, the one who could. In burnt offerings, verse 6, and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hast pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Christ established righteousness for his people. Salvation is of the Lord, and of the Lord alone. By the which will? By his will, not our own. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. But let's go on. Continuing in verse 11, and every priest standeth daily, speaking of those who slaughtered all the animals, daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, this one sacrifice, the sacrifice, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. What do you mean? By one offering he perfected forever. That's the sacrifice of God. Perfect. Done. When he said it's finished, that's why it's finished. God doesn't do anything halfway. He doesn't do something and expect us to do anything else. He knows we can't. He tells us we can't. Wherefore, the Holy Ghost also, verse 15, is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and into their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of this is, there is no more offering for sin. Once. One perfect offering. The only sacrifice for sin. He says, come. Come unto me, he says. Come unto Christ. Again, you don't need to turn there in John 3:14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Turn away. Turn away from your imaginary righteousness. righteousness, of which you really have none. Turn away from your works and trust in the only living one. But also know this, that if you do so, it's because he has begun a good work in you. You see, dead men can't do anything. In John 6:63 it says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you," speaking our Lord, "is they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus from the beginning knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." Who do you say that I am? Our Lord says to Peter. Well, you're the Son of the living God. Well, blessed are you. For flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you. Men can't reveal that unto you. We preach the gospel. We tell you what God's word is. But God, the Spirit, has to come and reveal those words to you.
Amen.
There were many, many who heard the word of God, yet profited nothing. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, he says. Not maybe, not if. They shall come to him. Woe unto you who go the way of Cain, it says in Jude. Woe unto you who think your good outweighs your bad. Blessed are they who trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Are you trusting in the Lord?
Yes.
Our Lord and Savior declares salvation is finished. Salvation is of the Lord. Let's go over to Matthew 11:25 and I'll bring this to an end. The 11th chapter of Matthew. Verse 25. "And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. All things are delivered unto me, even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God declares salvation is finished. Finished by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who hung on that cross a little over 2,000 years ago. There are no other sacrifices that we can give. There is nothing we have to offer or to add to what has been done.
Amen.
Rest. Quit what we're doing. Turn away from our own works. And trust in the Lord. I had a conversation earlier, yesterday actually. And one of the brothers is sharing with us how they're going through a little bit of a family problem. Considering the possibility of weapons to protect themselves. And I don't argue against that at all. I'm a strong, avid supporter of gun rights, weapons rights, to protect yourself. I personally do not own a gun, because I know I don't have control over my emotions. And I'd do something stupid. But I do support the right for every one of you to do whatever is necessary to protect yourselves. But as we were talking about that, I brought this up. Is it really going to save you from anything the Lord has already providentially declared for you to go through?
No.
Think of Job for a moment, folks. Could Job have done anything to stop those who stole his cattle?
No.
What about stopping those who killed his children? No, he couldn't have. We either trust our Lord or we don't. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't do what you got to do. You do what you think you got to do between you and the Lord. What we do need to do, and that's trust our Lord Jesus Christ in all things.
Yeah.
All things.
Yeah.
Good and bad. Everything. Does he not do all things well?
Yeah.
Is he not a great God? Perfect in everything that he does? Well, in his word in Romans 8:28, we know. We know. Pastor?